when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Helen.
And this is the Squiggly Careers Podcast. Every week we talk about a topic to do with work and try to share some ideas and actions that we just really hope will help you to navigate your squiggly career with that bit more confidence and control.
And this week we are talking about how to let go of career FOMO. And the idea for this came from, there was a party that I wasn't invited to. I haven't told Sarah this is what triggered the idea.
What?
I know. There was a party I wasn't invited to. And I text the person. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got FOMO. And it was, I was just actually just joking-ish. And then I just got thinking about FOMO. And I was like, I wonder whether people have career FOMO. And it was like a light thought. It was just a light little, I wonder if this is something that people really relate to from a career perspective. And so I put it on our Instagram channel, which is at Amazing If, should you wish to join. And I put it on our stories. And I said, you know, yes or no, do you have career FOMO? And like very, very quickly, I can always tell a topic that resonates with people by the speed of how people respond. And very, very quickly, we had hundreds of people that said yes. So, and 97% of people were like, yes, this is something that resonates with me. I get career FOMO. And then I asked a secondary question because I was like, well, I wonder if this is different for people, which is like, what does career FOMO look for you? And again, we got hundreds of comments, way more than we normally get and way quicker than we normally get them. And what was really clear was that this is not only an issue that people relate to, but that actually there are some quite different things about what FOMO looks like. So we wanted to sort of break it down in a minute, what creates career FOMO. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how to work out, like, have you got it? So I've got a few questions for you. But then we also wanted to kind of share the themes that people shared with us on Instagram about what different FOMO looks like, and then give you some ideas for action that can help, but just also kind of recognizing that because FOMO feels quite personal, the ideas for action, they're not all going to work for everyone. So we've tried to give you a bit of sort of flexibility with the ideas for action to sort of fit your FOMO.
I've read some clinical research papers about FOMO, as you do, because reading all the comments for everybody actually made me both sad, but also want to take this very seriously, because this is not, though it was like, as Helen said, it was sort of a quick idea that we were testing out, it also definitely is something that really does impact people. And I think people don't want to have this. So I was just trying to understand a bit more about what this is and kind of where it came from. So interestingly, FOMO, it actually includes two processes. The first one is the perception of missing out, which is what we would expect. But the second is then a sort of compulsive behaviour to kind of continue to do that thing, to maybe maintain those social connections or to continue checking social media, almost even though you know that it's probably hindering you a lot more than it helps you. And it comes from our need to belong, that we all want to feel included, that you want to feel like you fit in and that you're part of something. And though it is about more than social media, a lot of the research has been done since 2004, which is when Facebook launched. So sort of Facebook launched and suddenly, I guess, everybody's world became much more visible, or at least a small slice of people's worlds became much more open for everybody to sort of have a nose around. And I guess that had some pros around connection and community. Like, I do think social media at its best can definitely be a force for good things happening. But this is one of those things that I think probably more people became aware of, and it's increased its impact, particularly on our careers. Like, when we read some of the comments from people, you know, they were kind of very heartfelt, and people clearly finding it really hard. And a lot of those things were connected to social media.
And when I was like reading through the comments, we've summarised them into a couple of themes, but I would say that there were three main triggers for FOMO for people. One was social media, as Sarah said. The other was career stage, and the other was age. I feel like stage, age and social media often compounded the career FOMO that people were experiencing. And I think it's just useful to know that so that you can almost sort of normalise it a little bit. You know, like, oh gosh, this feels awful. Why is that? Oh my gosh, it's because I've just turned 40. And suddenly I've got attached to what I think I should have done at this age in my life. Or, oh, why do I now feel like that? Oh, it's because I've just become a parent and I'm at this new stage. So I think sometimes it helps to know that you're not alone with career FOMO and that it is being particularly triggered for you, possibly because of a stage, age or social media. And we'll come into some of those things as well.
So we've got a bit of a FOMO career checklist, just what you all want, which we thought we would
find
talk
out your
through
FOMO.
To see, I suppose, whether for you there is one area of career FOMO which particularly impacts you. So is there kind of, we've got six things here. Is there one of these six things that you particularly identify with and that feels very familiar? Or do you recognise lots of them? Because then I think it also helps you to sort of have that self-awareness then of when we get to the ideas for action, where am I going to start? Like, what's going to be most useful for me? So, Helen, are you ready to do your FOMO career checklist?
Yes. Do I have to say my answers out loud to everybody?
Yes. That's what I thought we agreed.
Thanks.
Yes. So these are not coaching questions, everybody. These are not open questions. These are yes, no questions. So they are very binary and black and white. So here we go. Question one, Helen. Do you check social media obsessively to see what others are doing?
I mean, so wait. I worry about the word obsessively and I worry about the to see what other people are doing. Do I check social media a lot? Yes. Obsessively, maybe. Addictively, maybe. I'll just say yes. What about you?
No.
Like, straight no. Right, next one, no. Sarah. Let's see. Do you experience negative feelings when comparing your career to others?
Yes. Sometimes.
No. Oh, like, we're finding it so hard to do this cleanly.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes.
Not every day. I actually think frequency might be a good overlay to this. Like, is this every day? Is this every week? But yes, I definitely recognise that. You?
That one's a no from me. Doesn't.
It's a no from me.
Doesn't do anything.
Question three. Do you have a sense of shoulds about your career? You know, I should be earning more, doing more, I don't know, having 4 million side projects, raising more money for charity, running the London Marathon. A few people we know ran the London Marathon. And I was like, why am I not fitter? Why am I not doing more of these things? Why am I not doing more for charity? Helen?
Yes, I definitely have shoulds. You?
Yeah. I think almost unavoidable. Very hard to have no shoulds. But I guess, how much does it dominate your days? Like, how much does it dominate your thinking?
I guess it's the difference between a could and a should. So could you run the marathon? Yeah. But the should, it's the should, isn't it? It's like I think it's that feeling like this is something I should be doing. I'm the type of person that should do stuff like this. I think this should has a different emotion. Okay, next one. Do you say yes at work a lot more than you say no? Or even are you always saying yes?
No. Obviously. Helen?
You're laughing at me because I think the answer is yes. I think I'm getting better at it though, but I'm keeping a tally of these for us, by the way. I'm going to give myself another. I am, yeah. I'm going to give myself another yes. Okay. Next one. Does a lack of confidence stop you from trying things out in your career? Big pause.
I think yes in the past, less so now. So I sort of recognise it. And I could see how that could come back again. So it doesn't feel completely unfamiliar. It doesn't feel as relevant for me right now.
Okay. You're getting a small why.
Okay, what about you?
No. It doesn't affect. It's quite interesting though, isn't it? Some of them you could just very quick no. And some of them you're like hover a bit with a yes. All right, last one. I'm laughing at this one. I know my answer already. Do you get easily distracted and find deep work difficult?
No.
And I'm going to say yes. I don't think I get easily distracted.
The reason what that scores did we get?
What scores did we get? So you got two big yeses and one little one. So I'll give you a 2.5 out of the six that you could have had. And I got a four. I got a four out of six. The point here is the more yeses you have from that list, the more likely you are to suffer from career FOMO. Though, you know, some of those could be more significant for you than others. You might have one that's a yes that feels particularly powerful and dominating. But broadly speaking, I guess they are all contributors to career FOMO. So if you've got more yeses, you're just more exposed. And there were four specific things that came out of that Instagram survey that also might be useful for you to be aware of, because you might recognise these kind of specific things of career FOMO. So the first was kind of career FOMO when you miss out on opportunities for your career while you're kind of working out what you want to do. Like, oh, I'll work it out soon. I'll know exactly what I want to do. Someone phrased this as seeing all the great things people are doing and wondering if I should be too. That kind of like, I wonder if, but they're never sort of moving that forward. The second specific thing that came through was not feeling as confident as other people to pivot. And a specific comment about what that might sound or feel like said, someone said, wishing you had the bottle to switch careers and seeing others do it. So there is a bit of sort of comparison perhaps coming in both of these. The third one was about peers who seem to be progressing faster. Someone said they'd joined a graduate scheme and they'd stayed with the company for years, but they'd watched other people leave for a new job. And that kind of made them feel like, oh, maybe I should have done that too. And the fourth one was connected to becoming a parent. So kind of having career FOMO because you've taken time out of the workplace to have a baby. So I think this was the comments that we got were more specifically from women on this one. Someone had said, oh, I returned to work part-time because that was what I wanted, but having career FOMO that I might be missing out on opportunities because of that. And so they're just sort of four specific things that we saw across lots of those comments that you might also relate to as well.
Like, why do we want to do something about this other than it clearly makes us feel rubbish? You know, none of us are feeling better because of this, and it's a waste of our energy and headspace. And I also think it stops us owning and perhaps feeling positive and optimistic and in control of our choices. Maybe it's you either get to go, well, have I made the right choice? We sort of start to question choices that we've made for really good reasons, or perhaps you think, oh, perhaps you doubt your own decision-making abilities. So I think you perhaps lose a bit of kind of clarity in you and what's important to you. And perhaps it just feels like something you can't influence. So none of us like to feel helpless. And so perhaps we look at other people and think, well, I would love to, you know, pivot my career, but there's maybe things stopping you. You might be like, but I can't do that because I can't take a pay cut. So we're not feeling like there's anything that we could do differently. And I think a couple of things that we know make this really hard when we were reflecting on this. Firstly, I reckon everybody knows that social media is a tiny, tiny slice of someone else's world. Often the highlights reel, often the shiny stuff. So I think we all know that, but that it is the bit that you see. So I was like, well, I know that when I'm on LinkedIn. But then you still see, like, Helen and I are notorious for not winning awards. We never win awards. It's very annoying, particularly for the podcast, actually. So for anyone listening, I mean, maybe this is why, right? Maybe we need to, rethink the podcast a bit.
Is there a reason we've never won an award for our podcast? I wonder.
We're like, well, we don't know why. It's just so brilliant, but we just never win these awards. And so then I've seen people, for example, win awards that we would love to have won. And that's the bit that you see. And so, of course, you know, there's loads of things that like will be hard and will be difficult and all those kind of things. But that is the one bit that you're sort of exposed to. And I think compounded by so many of us are our own worst critics. We know we've all got that negativity bias. So I wonder whether I feel like it's sort of this FOMO like flicks a switch a bit. It flicks that negativity bias, that worst critic switch. And then we start giving ourselves a really hard time. So the more I've thought about this, the more you're like, well, this is one of those classic areas, I think, for the kind of knowing doing gap. I think we know that's not everyone's world. I think we know that sometimes we're too hard on ourselves, but doing something about it, I think, just often feels really hard. So we are going to have a go at addressing that now.
just before we do that, is reminding me a little bit, you know how like social media is only a very small slice and the picture doesn't represent the reality? And I just in a personal example to bring that to life, towards, when did I go? I went to Dubai earlier in the year as a family holiday. And we had a slightly, the one element of this trip was a bit disastrous. It rained like a lot. It was a
and
massive
hailed.
Downpour.
You had those massive
hail. Yeah, it rained
hail.
And hailed and it was a bit dramatic. And my little boy, Henry, was really excited about going sand surfing, like getting, you know, a... what's it called? A wakeboard and going, not wakeboard. What's it called?
Bodyboard? I don't
no,
know.
No, not one of those.
Surfboard?
One of the ones that's not skiing. God, I'm so bad at this. The thing that I've done, snowboard. Get a snowboard.
Right.
What do you call it? The snowboard.
Sandboard?
That. Anyway, snowboard on sand becomes a sandboard. He was really excited about this. And so we did this trip that was a bit of a disaster, including the sandboarding, because the sand was wet, which made it very hard to go down on it. And the sandboard was quite broken and it was for adults and my little boy couldn't get his feet into it. But anyway, there's this one picture that I took of him where the sky is blue, like you can't see this rain, the sky is blue, Henry's like positioned on this sandboard and he looks amazing, he looks sporty and he looks athletic. And if you saw that picture, you'd be like, he's amazing, what a trip, it was brilliant. The reality was he could not move that board and he was getting really frustrated. He was trying to shift it and he was like, mummy, it's hurting my feet. But honestly, that picture in no way reflects the reality of that moment, which was, you know, tantrums and leaving early and all kinds of stuff. But it just, I kind of look at that picture and I go, that's sometimes like work life. That is the award that you don't see all the failures that have gone before it. That is somebody sharing something that's really important to them because they've got a whole other thing that is also going wrong at the same time and they just want to anchor to a positive moment. And so, yeah, it is only a slice, which is easier to say, but I think just to know it, sort of know it sometimes is quite useful.
So we're going to do some ideas for action now. And the first idea we're calling three reasons why. And the purpose of this exercise is to remind yourself why you have made a decision to be doing what you're doing. Because I think a lot of the time with career FOMO, sort of the decision has already been made. You're already sort of living your life. And we need to just sort of readdress that balance kind of away from FOMO to like why you do what you do. What is better because of whatever that kind of thing is that you've chosen. So, and I think having three reasons why just gets you to delve into it enough to kind of reconnect with it. I sometimes think we need to kind of go back and go, oh, that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's important to me. And it's useful to almost kind of have those things documented so we can just go back to them, particularly if this is something that feels kind of very real for you right now. So if, for example, you're thinking, well, I work part time and that means I'm missing out on loads of opportunities to progress, you might say, by working part time, I can 1, 2, 3. What are those three things? I can be there for my kids every day to help them with their homework. I mean, awful, so frustrating when I have to do that. But, you know, maybe you're a really brilliant parent and actually you get a lot of satisfaction from that and that's a really good thing. And maybe that means you can be there for the moments that matter. Maybe some of those things, it means you can actually have a really nice work-life fit. Maybe those things, all the parts of your life feel like they fit together better because you are working part-time. What would yours be, Helen, if you were thinking about, you know, all the shoulds, like you were saying to me, Helen last week was spending time with lots of very successful women running companies, much bigger, most of them probably, than Amazing If. So very easy to fall into the kind of shoulds, like, why are we not working harder? We should be doing more things, I don't know, ruling the world.
Yeah, it was so funny. My shoulds from that, I was like, oh my gosh, I should be doing that too. Or, oh, I should have an alternative business model that enables ... Like, because everyone's ideas are brilliant.
Should we?
Well, probably. But, I mean, this might be a reality for some of this stuff. But my thing was, it's quite distracting. You know, it's quite distracting and being like, oh, I should be doing it like they are, or I should be learning that thing, or I should be part of that thing that they are part of. Or I'll tell you another one, I should be investing. I got that last week. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a female founder, I should be a female funder. Like, loads of shoulds came out.
You always have that when you spend time with that group. You always come back and you always start talking to me about investing, and every time I'm like, sure, but we haven't really got that much money to invest. So, you know,
like can I just put like a pound in? I mean, you know, well,
I probably could
a pound to play. But what would I say instead? So I think the thing I'm trying to think about is, well, by running our business in the way that we already do, so rather than thinking how should I be doing it differently, by running our business in the way that we already do, I can create things I care about. Like, that is fundamentally true. I can work with people that I trust and learn from. That's really true. And by running the business that I already do, I can connect with a community, like a community of squiggly career people and learners who make me feel that I'm making a difference. And you know, I feel like learning and creating and making a difference is something that I should really hold, like, honestly, like, hold to my heart. And it makes me think, well, yeah, I could be doing all that other stuff, but actually I learn and I make a difference and I get to create stuff I care about. I mean, that's actually more important to me. And it really, for me, that like offsets all the shoulds. Yeah, I should. But look what I get to do. That's a thing that is actually I want to attach myself to.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So our second idea for action is to do some things that protect you from career FOMO. And we've got a bit of a principle here because Sarah and I, we've honestly talked about this for quite a while because we really care about it. And I think seeing all those comments made us think, oh gosh, we need to really like do some stuff that's really useful here for people. So we've got a principle and then we've got a few little practical tips that we think can help you protect yourself. So the principle that we got to is when you're falling into career FOMO, which, you know, might look like the shoulds that we talked about or comparing yourself to other people, all that kind of stuff. We think that it is useful to recognize that it's never what we've kind of said. It's never apples and apples. So for example, if I'm comparing myself to Sarah, which I could do, I could be like, oh, I've got career FOMO because Sarah reads more than me, which she definitely does. Like, I get a bit of FOMO because I think, oh, well, Sarah's learning more. Sarah's got more to give to the work that we do because she spends more time sort of learning and connecting the dots. I could definitely do that because that is true. But I'm not comparing apples with apples. Mine and Sarah's life and our brains are different, and I have to kind of recognize that it's not a like for like comparison. Who we are and how we work and what's going on in our lives is just different. The reality is Sarah reads a lot because she sometimes just can't get to sleep in the evening, and then she might be reading, or she uses that as a way that she gets space because she needs that in her brain more than I do. We are different people. You're not comparing like for like. Sarah, it's you who kind of came up with the apples and apples thing. Would you add anything to it that could be useful?
I think it comes really from, we often say, you know, careers today are as individual as you are. And I think sometimes we forget that. So we go, oh yeah, our careers are really individual. Like, no two squiggles are the same. But then when it comes to career FOMO, we're assuming that somebody else's career squiggle is identical to ours. And also that point around, there's a lot hidden with career FOMO. There's a lot you can't see. There's a lot that's not visible. And so not only is it you're not comparing apples with apples, you're also seeing like this like tiny part of something. And then you're assuming that the tiny part is the whole. And so, I mean, it's perhaps just, I think, because I often think in sort of visuals and metaphors, I actually found that really helpful as a starting point to think, oh, okay, but that person is not me. They're not going to be motivated by the same things as me. Like I was saying to Helen beforehand, you know, sometimes I think, oh, like one of my shoulds would be, well, I should be spending actually more time on LinkedIn. So the opposite of what everyone else was saying, like, oh God, LinkedIn doesn't always make people feel good. You know, I see Helen doing all of her brilliant posting and I know it's important. And, you know, sometimes occasionally I have something to say, but, and so I could be like, oh, well, I should be doing that more. But then that's, again, sometimes I think I'm imagining I have the same personality and profile as Helen, who is someone who can, you know, write things fast, get her thoughts down quickly and get them out there. She can, this point about career FOMO, I mean, I'm not even sure if you shared that with me before I saw it on Instagram. I think I saw this idea for the first time on Instagram and I was just going, right, is that what's happening? And I just cannot contemplate doing that. I don't think fast enough or act fast enough for that ever to be my reality. So again, you're not comparing apples with apples. So I think just reminding yourself of that is just maybe a helpful starting point.
And then the practical tips, particularly, you know, maybe when we went through that list and you had quite a few things, so you were exposed to quite a lot of the kind of FOMO factors, the practical tips that might be helpful, as well as just remembering that principle, are first, with social media, perhaps limit your time that you spend on it. If that's a bit triggering for you, maybe even delete it for a while and see how you feel. Maybe you don't actually need it as much as you do. There might be a week where you're kind of reaching for it constantly, but then maybe the second week it's easier. You kind of won't really know how you feel till you give that want to go on how long you can do without it. You don't have to quit it forever, but actually maybe forcing yourself to be without it for a while might make you a bit more conscious of how you're engaging with it. The second one we talked about was friend FOMO, which feels a bit uncomfortable to kind of admit that you might have like friend career FOMO, you know, that you're, because you like these people, they're your friends, but you still can have a bit of career FOMO about what they're doing. If that's the case, you might just want to consider how often or how you are spending time with them. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's like only happens when they're in person, or maybe it's happening over WhatsApp and you haven't actually seen them in person for a while. So you've just sort of lost the foundations of that friendship. But maybe just sort of that friendship's probably very important to you, but it just might not be helping you in the way you want it to. It doesn't mean you have to stop the friendship. It might just change how you are kind of maintaining that friendship. And then the last one was colleagues, which you talked about control and concern, Sarah, which I thought was really interesting.
Well, I think often we do, when we're in kind of FOMO territory, you are worrying about and spending time thinking about things that you are concerned about or that you can see or you can observe, but that you have very low levels of control over, that you sort of can't do anything about. It's sort of things that are not really about you. So Helen was giving an example of how in some of the companies that she's worked in, particularly because relationships are important to her, sometimes she'd maybe look around and be like, oh, why does that person seem to have a really good relationship with that person? But actually, rather than sort of getting preoccupied by that, a really good way to kind of protect yourself from it is to go, okay, well, who do I need to build strong relationships with? Who could help me to be even better at my job? Who do I want to learn from? And I think a brilliant way to always get yourself back into sphere of control is to ask yourself I questions. Because as soon as you ask yourself an I question, it's very much like, well, this is about me. And so you're stopping doing the apples v apples thing. You're just going, it's just about me and my apple, if that still works.
Yeah, my
I would say on the friend FOMO one, that Helen and I did talk about this a fair bit beforehand. I have heard somebody who I am friends with before actually call this out in a really in a really lovely way and not in an aggressive way, where she actually just felt confident enough to say, you know, with a group that I'm kind of part of and we have dinner every so often, like, oh, you know, everyone else seems to be doing such amazing things and I just feel like I just don't have those things. So basically kind of going, actually potentially spending time with us would make her feel worse. And what seemed to help was actually us also reminding her of all the amazing, like how amazing she is and the like really great things that she has done. And also thinking a little bit about how we spend time together. So, you know, like the conversations don't always have to be about work. Sometimes they do end up going that way. But equally, sometimes maybe sitting down and if you're having like food or whatever, you end up having those kind of conversations. But perhaps if you're walking together, or perhaps if you're going to do something together or see something together, even like go to the cinema together, don't have to talk as much, perfect. I'd love to go to cinema. I never get to go to cinema. And also don't have to talk much. Perfect. You know, like, that works on so many levels. Why do I not go to cinema with my friends more often? But I do think you could slightly reevaluate or rethink, oh, like, if that is a challenge, I think that is very, it feels hard, but it's very understandable. So perhaps you do something different where you're much less likely to stray into the territory of talking about work. And then, you know, you keep those relationships going. And I think really good friends would get that. I remember hearing someone, when I heard this person say that, I didn't think, oh, like, she doesn't want to spend time with us. I just felt like she was just being really honest about how hard she was finding stuff.
I think it's a difference, isn't it, between unhealthy and healthy friendships. Like, I think a healthy friendship, you should be able to share that. And that person would want to support and be open to, you know, evolving that friendship, like you say, meeting in different ways. I think an unhealthy friendship would be somebody who doesn't really care about their impact on you and continues behaving in a way that obviously affects you. That's not a healthy friendship to have.
And finally, we were thinking, what are you trying to go from and to here? I love a from and to. Always gives me clarity about what's the job to be done. So we were saying, we think you're trying to move from career FOMO to a statement that sounds something like, I'm happy where I am. You know, sort of like, things are good, basically. Things are good where I am at the moment. And we both then reflected on what works for us to sort of move from that state. Because sometimes I think you're trying to move from that state in a moment, or maybe it's beyond a moment. So it might just be that you've had a quick look on LinkedIn and you need to quickly move from FOMO to I'm happy where I am. Or perhaps it's a bit more significant than that. It's sort of a more, you know, that those thoughts are kind of permeating your days more frequently. And generally, you kind of need to feel more like that. So Helen, do you want to share first what works for you? And then I'll share what works for me.
Yeah, the thing that works for me whenever I'm, you know, like the sort of FOMO factors are like pride projects. So I have realised that the more things that I'm in control of, that I'm like proud of, the less susceptible I am to FOMO. So like, I'll give you an example. So at Microsoft, there were probably quite a lot of things that could have triggered my career FOMO. So it's a hierarchical organisation. You know, one of my values is achievement. That looks like a certain thing in those big companies. It looks like certain roles, it looks like certain projects, it looks like being connected to certain people. Like, those are some of the factors that would be important for achievement in that area. And rather than feeling, I guess, swayed by career FOMO because I didn't have some of those things in that company, what I focused more on was things that were in my control that I could be proud of. So that might be being a manager, for example, the way that I was managing people. Like, I was really proud of the impact that I had as a manager. And that was something that I was in control of and that I can do. I was really proud that I had things that I was doing outside of work. So it sort of offset the FOMO for me because I could be like, well, okay, I might not be doing that, but ultimately I've got this amazing thing that I'm doing outside of work that I'm really proud of. And I think the trick with a pride project is that you've got control over it. So it's something that isn't dependent on someone else, and that it is something I think you're passionate about. Like, I'm passionate about kind of managing. I'm passionate about the team. I'm passionate about squiggly careers. And I think that control and that passion, it creates something, I think, which is sort of a magnet for you rather than like the FOMO thing pulling you towards something else.
And funnily enough, for me to be happy where I am, I often have to do a bit of mental time travel. So I sort of need to look forward to the future to sort of remind myself of why and where I am today and that works for me. So I have a sort of general squiggly career success statement. So we've talked before, like, Helen has more like vision boards, mood boards. I just have like three sentences, I think it is. So it's pretty short, that sort of reminds me like what matters most to me. So sometimes I might actually go back and look at that. So that's actually going backwards. But sometimes I think probably what works better for me is I go, well, in 6 months' time or in 12 months' time, what will be true about the work that I'm doing, the way that I'm working, the choices that I've made? And I think it just encourages me to take accountability for those things. I sort of call myself on those things, because if I'm getting a bit distracted by comparison, which is probably the one that's most consistent for me. And some of that actually is going back to like ladder-like thinking, definitely, you know, because it takes a bit of letting go, the old, you know, like, we know that, some of those ladder-like things. So it could be status that I see in other people. It could be very impressive job titles with people that I've, you know, maybe worked with or know really well. And I'll think, oh yeah, you know, I don't have those things. I do something quite different now, which I know is better for me. But when I actually fast forward and go, almost to Helen's point, what are we doing in 6 months' time or in 12 months' time? I think I'm anticipating the things that I'm going to feel proud of. So that Helen's sort of doing it more in the moment, whereas I'm going, oh, well, I'm going to have the opportunity to ... And I feel really optimistic about these things, or I'm really looking forward to. And I think it just anchors me back to, oh, I'm so happy where I am, because look at all these things I'm looking forward to. And my success statement is a reality, and I don't take that for granted. I think that's hard to make happen. And so, yeah, I think it brings, as somebody who's not very, I'm not super in the moment, I am very kind of future facing. I think it helps me to kind of be a bit grounded in the now and just go, do you know what? Now is like, is a really good place to be. So keep doing what you're doing. I think that would be my, I think that's where I get to. With all of this stuff, I go, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. It's going well. Next day.
As well as Sarah's motivational advice to keep doing what you're doing. I'm not sure that's going to catch on. I'm not sure that's going to be on a LinkedIn post.
What do you mean the podcast doesn't win awards? Well, it's outrageous.
Sarah Ellis said, just keep doing what you're doing.
Probably be fine, right?
Probably be fine. So just to recap on some practical things that might help you, as well as that inspirational piece of advice, the ideas for action were, first of all, the three reasons why, like remind yourself of the decisions that you've made, because that can be really helpful. Second, we need to protect ourselves from FOMO. So we've got that principle and those practical tips we talked about. And the third thing is just that I'm happy where I am statement. How do you get there? How do you get to where I'm happy where I am? And we shared our ideas of the Pride Projects and mental time travel, but there might be something else that works for you. I think it's just remembering what that thing is and knowing that you can rely on it if you're getting triggered by something that is creating career FOMO for you. We'll put all of those things together in the pod sheet. So if you're new to the podcast and you're still listening, great, brilliant, hope you've liked it. But if everyone else is a regular, you know that you can go to amazingif.com and go to the podcast page. And if you click on today's episode, you will get a pod sheet, which is a one-page thing that you can kind of download and you can fill out, and it's got some questions. You can also get the pod note, which is a swipeable summary. So that could be a good thing to maybe share with somebody that you think this might help, so they can find our work too.
So we do hope that does help you with career FOMO, because we know it's no mean feat to sort of try and overcome this and to think differently. So good luck. Let us know how you get on. But that's everything for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.